Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar verse. We're going to look at that, kind of build from there, and then kind of go off from that. We're going to talk about basically the power of faith promise and how effective it is. And you know, certain verses in the Bible, kind of, you know, you long to, you kind of pull to, it kind of gravitates. One of the most powerful verses, I guess, I have is it's in Proverbs. You know, the king's heart's in the hands of the Lord, as rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever his will. And, you know, that little verse there, that means a lot to you, but to me, I've seen God work. And this verse here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's just one of those verses that of life, living, and giving that God does provide and takes care of you. Look at verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, this evening, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy upon us, Lord, and thank you for allowing us to come to a church. We can worship you. But God, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, down on the cross, that we have redemption, Lord. We have a home in heaven, Lord. Then you didn't leave us. You sent your Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us, Lord. And you're always there with us, Father. You never forsaken us, Lord. You're always there taking care of us and providing the needs. And God, help us to really grab our faith, understand we get closer to you, Lord. We can walk closer and we see your presence. And Lord, I do pray that not just a lifestyle evangelism, Lord, that people do see a difference in our life, Lord, but we're able to tell others of what you've done and how they can see a need to get saved, Lord. And I think of the gentleman Andy, Lord, that I pray you deal with his heart, Lord. I pray he gets life straight, Father. But I thank you for this opportunity to talk to people about you, Father. Now, Lord, we look at your word tonight, Lord, about faith promise. We ask you to challenge us, help us kind of settle in our minds and see what you want us to do, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, do you really realize that giving and mission is a big thing to God? Do you know it really is a big thing? It's nothing. Missions Conference is probably one of the most powerful, effective tool that God uses. And I think it because it gets our hearts. You know, does God need our money? No. Does God need anything you got? No. He just wants you. He just wants me. I don't care how you think of all these great preachers in the past or in the present. They're no different from anybody. But listen, God uses certain different men to do certain tasks. But all they had to do, they had to give themselves to God and say, "What do you want me to do?" And it really is important what God wants us to do and find out what God wants you to do. Because the thing is, if you do whatever you want to do, you're going to be wasting your time in your life. Because you live, 70, 80 years, and then you got eternity and what he's given you, what you could opportunity to do. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says, part of it says this, "If you obey my voice," talking to the children of Israel, "indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." When we think about 1 Peter 2, 9, we get that idea, you're a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. It comes from that text that Peter's drawing from. But they were a chosen people. They were special. What made them so special? They had the oracles of the Word of God. Of all the nations, they had truth. They're the only one really had truth in knowing who the Jehovah, the I Am. They had that. And they were special. But this in Matthew 21, verse 43, really is a powerful verse. It says that, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation that bringeth forth fruits thereof." Here the nation of Israel had the word of God, and my Messiah comes, and they reject him. And he says, you know what? The kingdom will be taken from you, given to another nation, to the Gentiles. And Acts chapter 28, verse 28, he says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it." He said, you know, they're not going to hear it, but they will hear it. And you know what? They had the oracles of God, and God said, you know what? I'll give it to another nation that takes the gospel. You know, I think what makes America powerful and effective, it ain't because of great leaders or great minds. It was that men that put this first, and God blessed this nation because of that. Tell me another nation you could ever imagine in history fought two wars, two different fronts, and was willingly prepared, wasn't even ready for it. And is it because, you know what made those men special in World War II? It's because a lot of those men had this, and mom and daddy's praying for them. They were preaching the word of God. Do you know in D-Day, the whole place stopped in the States? I mean, some of you may remember, maybe your mom and dad could tell you. In Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, I've heard read stories, they stopped and everybody prayed. You don't see that. You don't see that in churches no more. Because listen, I believe this country was blessed because people are taking the gospel. Listen, this church will be blessed if we continue sending the gospel out. Listen, it says bringing forth fruits, souls of men. That's the purpose, is to tell others what God had did for us and get them saved, and we train them and teach them. Joseph's job is not done, and Miss Katie's job is not done. Now they got to really learn the word of God and teach others what God did for them. They need to redo that. See, if we sit there and say, well, I'm done, you're done. You're wasted life. I'm 46 years old. I don't want to have a wasted life like anymore. I want to be more effective to God. I want to get closer to God. I want to reach the world for my Savior. Not for me, not for a mega church. I want to do it for God. If God wants me to stay in this church, or He may say, you know, I'm going to move to a smaller church, I only got 10 people, and if that's what He wants me to do, and I'm winning souls for Jesus Christ, and that's it, I'll be happy. Because I think of a church in Rota, Spain, they only had 30 people. 40 or 50, maybe say 50 was a big day at times. Listen, there was more men got surrendered life and got saved and went on to the mission fields or be pastored in that church. Listen, that's a powerful ministry. We can do the same. Our objective is not just Brother Streeter and Brother Ahmed. Listen, we need more missionaries. We need to start. How about us starting a church? Where's a church around that needs a good, independent, fundamental Baptist church? Central Baptist had a vision. Talk to Brother Lewis, and it affected. He could tell you stories in his house, a little boy, and watching that. I bet you he could tell you stories where men were praying, getting a hold of God. This is because it bears fruits. Can you imagine? England is so cold, so hard. They went bearing fruits, and God took it away. And I wonder if America is doing the same way. They say, I don't know how this sticks and how they figure this out. They said in the Philippines, there's more missionaries getting sent out there in America. I don't know if it's true. But I know this, when I was in Africa, I felt met Filipino missionaries. Thought it was the oddest thing. I thought they were Americans. Listen, it is important. We need to get a hold of that. Can I really give sacrificially? Can I really give sacrifice? I can give my life, I can give my mind, I can give my will. But sacrifice is the idea of a loss or something that you give up. And it's usually for something better. Now, if I give up my substance or my life, am I giving up a loss? I think about the man in Iwo Jima that died on that rock of just a volcanic ash. And they died for what cause? There's some of these islands they fought for, you read in history, it wasn't worth it, but just in case they needed that island, or the D-Day, listen, they gave up their lives. And some of these men, I was talking to some, I think it was talking to a missionary that, you know, some of you guys are 70 I don't think anybody's 80 years old. Well, Brother Frank, you're 80 years old. You know how many people had an opportunity to live that life? There's a lot of boys and ladies that died at 18, 19 years old and never had the privilege to live that long. And I think, you're this age and it's a blessing. It's not a curse. Yeah, you're hurting in age and sickness and it's tough. I see my mom hurting, but it's a blessing. You get to see, she gets to see her grandkids and she see her great-grandkids. That's a blessing, isn't it? But are we really sacrificing? I was thinking about that. Then I thought about this verse here in Luke 18:29 says, and he said unto them, this is where Peter said, we left all and we follow thee. And he says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there's no man hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more, that means very much more, in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. It's just amazing. I mean, really, can I outgive God? No. Am I can sacrifice to give something to God? I give my life to God and I die for Him. Am I losing? And I give God whatever He wants me to get in faith promise. Am I losing? I pick Megan and Martin. I don't know what God. I don't ever let me pick you to go to mission. I don't want to pick you. Because you'll fail and you'll be miserable and you'll never succeed. But if God chooses you, He provides. But I use them as an example, the young married couple and all that. Imagine what, if God called them, what they could do would be great, mighty things. They wouldn't keep nice houses or something. They'd be just serving for God, what God will. But it's what much more blessing to do what God wants them to do, in, maybe in the jungles of South America or Africa or Asia, than be the governor of Louisiana. Listen, it's not losing, are we? Listen, you know, power of faith probably does get a different perspective and does change us. You know, as a Christian, I want to be a blessing. I want blessings in my life. I mean, if I want blessings from God, I need to get in it with my attitude and stay in it. Listen, I got to stay there and say, God, not my will, but thine. When I gave you that card here, and I'm serious about it, and I don't even have it. Where is that card? And I said, listen, pray for it. Where is it? Here we are. Not my will, God. But thine. What is it you want me to do? This is important. And it ain't about the money. It's about me and my relationship with God. And say, what do you want me to do in my life, God? Faith problems really does give us perspective of life. And it really does dealing with our hearts. You know, and I really think, I think the most powerful verses in the Bible is in Malachi 3, verse 7 through 11. It talks about giving. And it really challenges. He says, test me here with the Lord. Prove me here with the Lord of hosts if I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I mean, it really challenges me and think, God always going to provide. He says, kind of like, walk on this water. I bid you, I test you, I challenge you to do it. And I was, I pushed back the devourer. I will protect you. And that's just like, I love that verse and I love that text and gives me confidence. And everything I do, and it's just, I falter, I mess up, and I wish I could stand up here and say, I never have unbelief or never hinder myself. No, I mess up. But I go back to the Word of God and I pick myself up and say, I can do that. And I get closer and see what God can do. Because listen, He doesn't lie. He's always there. It's a powerful text, isn't it? About giving. The power of faith promises, I believe it does bring revival. It gets us really kind of ponder. When you start praying with your spouse and your kids, saying, God, what do you want me to do? And you really get serious with God. What is this 2 Chronicles 7:14? You ever heard of that verse? If my people which are called by my name shall keep their money, shall humble. Listen, they humble, saying, God, what is it? Not my will, but thine. What is it you want me to do, God? And then seek my face. God, what is it you want me to do? Listen, that's the principle, isn't it? We talk about it. How many times you've been to revivals, and you come up with that verse. But we talk about it, but it does no good if we don't get on the altars and say, God, here am I. What do you want me to do? Faith promise is powerful. It does bring a genuine revival. Faith promise gives me, I'm going to tell you, number one is this, it gives me a fresh or a new love for God. It really does give me a fresh or new love for God. It kind of revives me a little bit. It helps me see what God sees the world. Look at what Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Very familiar section there, verse here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And he says, but when he saw the multitude, when Jesus Christ saw the multitude, he was preaching in the kingdom of God, healing the sick and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And he said, listen, he says, on them, because they have fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. When I start seeing God sees the people, start seeing the guy, Leaf, he looks at Brazil and he sees those people. Remember, he says something that I can relate. When you're in another country, the smell is different. The noise is different. Listen to the voice and the people talking, and it's just different. And you get a relationship. All the pictures you can get, and they're good to see the eyes. It does affect the heart. But listen to smell and talking. And listen, and remember, it's the one who's singing in Japanese. Did it not move you and touch your heart? Just a different language, but you understand what it's talking about. He said, I will have compassion. It makes me think about the African in Tanzania. I remember walking the street. I know I told you this story, and I'll probably tell you this story if I'm going to be a pastor of this church for 100 years, and I'm going to bury every one of you. Don't worry. I'm going to be here for 100 years and take care of everybody. But listen to me. It affected me. It affected me seeing that old man, blind, and I remember I put a track in his hand. He can't see it. And I wonder about how many men on the side of the streets are like that. Blind, they can't see. I think about the, do you remember the story? Remember that time we were in Spain? We were driving. I see this old man walking all the time. He's got this brim hat on. And I think he had a tie, but he had a suit jacket and his cane. You know, he was an old man then. He's got to be in his 50s or 60s that time, you know, walking around. But he touched my heart. I jumped out of the car and said, "Michelle, drive," in the middle of traffic. And I ran and chased him down, and I talked to him. It was a Spanish gentleman. I tried to explain to him in Spanish about salvation, but it touched my heart. And I really think about of all the people in like Burma and Chile or Ecuador and just different places in the world. We look at missions, and I wonder how many men are sitting on the side of the roads or the streets waiting for somebody to bring the gospel to them. I wonder how many people are just walking back and forth, and they're just looking for peace. They're searching, but nobody is going to them. It makes me think what Christ says, "I have compassion." It said he saw them with no shepherd. And that's what, you know what faith brings? It gives me a new, fresh love for God. The more I think about it, it just burns my heart, and I get excited about it, and I think about it, God, what you want me to do. Because it ain't about the card. It ain't about the money. It is about the souls of men that if they don't get saved, there's a Carl Stanley out there that's going to die and go to a devil's hell because somebody told him. That's real. There's a Benny out there. There's a Danny and there's a brother artist out there. There's every one of us, there's somebody out there like us. You know, I think about Miss Sherry and she's got a little testimony where she was out there, the school wanted to go to the Muslim, and she wanted to go to Christian. She's got a powerful testimony how she got saved. You need to find out. But because of a missionary. Because one saw the value, had compassion, saw it. That's what missions does. It's powerful. It gets our hearts. It really gets closer to see what God's doing. It really challenges us. You know what is that gives me? Help me see what see the world as God sees it. Listen, it helps me see the need to go. You know, Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says the calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his calling. Listen, salvation is always going to be there. He's always offering, man. He desired for all men to be saved. Listen, he desired that none should perish. He's long suffering to us, willing that all should be come to repentance. And he wants all men. He doesn't change on that. But you know, it's still my responsibility to go, isn't it? It's your responsibility to go. He didn't say, "Go, Carl." He did not say, "Go, Brother Streeter." He didn't say, "Go, Amit." He said, what? "Go ye." You know what that "ye" means in Greek? It's deep, ain't it, brother? It means you. It really means you. The question is, will you be the one? Will you be the one saying, "God, I see the need as you see it"? Listen, that's what we're going to break my heart. Help me to see. If you want me to go, then I'll go, God. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I promise you there when I was young, and you could ask my wife, I didn't have the confidence to do the things I did. I did not have the ability to trust in myself to do it. I would argue more than anything else about going. But it wasn't because my ability. It was because I wanted to serve my Savior. Folks, missions gets a hold of your heart. It's powerful. When you start seeing the need, as he says, "I have compassion on the multitude," it starts changing your life. Missions is important. Listen, he wants you to go. Listen, about going encouraging. And listen, I think Miss Sarah, I just looked at my son. I thought Miss Sarah right there working with the kids there. Listen, teaching. Listen, it's good to teach them piano. But if she's pouring her heart about Jesus Christ, that's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference. It makes a difference. We know God provides and meets the needs. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye," same "ye" that's supposed to go, "ye always having all sufficiency, and all things may abound to every good work." What a promise. We were talking about that Wednesday nights, the past two nights, or last two Wednesday nights about it. Listen, God promised to provide, doesn't he? He doesn't change, and he's always making provision for us. Adequate power is adequate. You shall receive power. It doesn't get less. I can't run out of the power. It's always there. There's always sufficiency. Listen, the supply is always available. It's, you know, I think about always like military wars, and they, you know, there's a lot of times that we were, Patton was trying to go in Europe and they had to stop because they were going so fast they didn't have, they're about to run out of fuel because the supplies couldn't make it to them. But my God will always supply my need. It's always there waiting on me. It's amazing. I meet God at the altar and He's always waiting on me. He's waiting on you. It's so hard, isn't it? Listen, faith is powerful. It's powerful. It does make a difference. It helps us start seeing what God sees the world as He sees it. It ain't just the world where I make me and, you know, my little girls, I love them, I want to be successful, but the most important thing, they got to understand that this book is more a priority of life than anything else. Folks, the same thing with you and me. How can we tell them to do that and we don't live it? How can we tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the most important thing and we don't live it? Listen, we start getting a hold of what God sees, it makes a difference. Listen, it's unexhausted. It always provides. There was a preacher, Dr. Roy Harris. He was telling me he had a grandson, got saved in the bus ministry, married his granddaughter, and they went to Mexico, and they went and visited him. He was pastoring. And Dr. Harris is always a hard man. He's a good, godly man, but he was just a tough man. He was just the most, I guess, like Brother Buchanan type of gentleman. I mean, he slapped Brother Buchanan in the back of the head. I mean, he didn't play around. They were just tough old birds. They were just that type of men with grits. I like those men. They were good, godly men, and they loved the Lord. They were strong, but yet they'd get on the knees and pray, and they'd get a hold of God. But they went to a mission camp. They went somewhere out in the place, he was telling me, and he said that it really touched his heart. He was telling the testimony where Brother Copeland was preaching in Spanish. And listen, people were getting saved. And you know, you drive here to like Baton Rouge in the third world country. It's an all-day trip to get there and come back. They went a little bit farther away than that. And they got there and they were preaching and people got saved. And that evening, some little boy had a New Testament, got saved. And he came back and said, "Mr. Missionary," he said, "when y'all coming back to follow up? When you coming back?" He said, "I can't." He can't be there all the time. And he said it gripped his heart that this little boy wants somebody there, but nobody's there to help them. That's what, listen, this is a need. It's more than a need than we can really imagine how powerful it is. There's places that you can go to that there's nobody there. They have nothing. They got the wickedness. They got the pagan religion. They got the false religion. They got everything but truth. There's a need. And amazing, it gripped my heart. Because I always think about that little Mexican boy. Has his little New Testament Bible. And was he waiting on me? Was he waiting for me to go? To go and just stay in time and spend time with him and teach him the Word of God so that he can live for the Lord? God didn't call me there. But God was showing me a need. And He was showing me His heart. Faith promise, time of getting together is powerful. We start seeing what the Word of God sees and seeing how the people are. It does make a difference. Listen, it brings a new love. Listen, it brings me a new desire to serve God. And I wonder, you ask the question, preacher, how many people I'm responsible for? How many people God wants me to go to? He says, go in ye in all the world. Or go to the uttermost part. Or maybe He's just saying, go to that little Mexican boy. But you got to find out what God wants you to do. You know, we got to get serious about God and say, God, what do you want us to do? This is it's an individual, but yet collectively as a whole, what God wants us to do. It is important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, we'll go to the meeting. I think we were there a while ago, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Verse 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have in all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And I think you see the willing, the principle of serving. Listen, there's a principle, not because it's a duty, it's a desire to do it because I love him. But you know that principle here of sowing, if I sow sparingly, I reap sparingly. It's very simple. So if I sow hatred, I guess what I'm going to get. If I sow selfishness, guess what I'm going to get. If I sow anger and I'm always angry, guess what I'm going to get. If I sow love, if I sow the Word of God, I'm going to get souls. He that soweth sparingly shall reap what? Sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Listen, it tells us in verse 7 the purpose of it. It says, every man according to his purpose in his heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly. It says a purpose. The giving out the gospel. The purpose. See, the object. Purpose means the object is to reach. His object then for mission is souls to be saved. That's the purpose. To fill the kingdom of God. So really is so people get saved. What else is there a purpose for your life? What is it God wants you to do? He wants you just to be the mega millionaire, or He just wants you to be successful in your business? What is it that God wants you to do? Is it not to go in the world and preach the gospel? But He wants us to reach the world. Listen, send missionaries. Lead people to Christ. Start churches. This church was started because somebody had a vision of a need in Zachary, Louisiana. How many souls have been saved in this church, folks? Brother Baggy, you know a lot, haven't you? You don't mean that, no, didn't you? And they're continuing. We've seen the fruit of them coming back. Little kids that were here, little kids now are grown adults. Affected their lives. Brother Bobby was just a little kid running through here. Now his kids are running through here. It's funny how Brother Danny, his little girls were running through the schools and all that. I don't know if they got saved here. Brother Nathan. Imagine nobody started nothing. It does give us desire to listen to serve. You know, the Bible does tell us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What God says, you do what I want to do. Do what I have you to do, and I'll take care of your stuff. I'll take care of you. You just do what I ask you to do. And what a promise, the desire to be to serve Him. He'll help me. He'll provide for me. He'll meet my needs. Listen, He's concerned about me. Faith promise is really important. But not just as important, but it really is powerful. I think once we really get a hold of it, and I know I'm not preaching to someone that's never heard about faith promise. I'm talking to Christians that you've been in faith promise. It's nothing new to you. But I'm really challenging you to get a hold of God and say, you know what, it really is powerful, and do some step a little bit closer to God. If we're satisfied where we're at, ain't there trouble? Ain't there trouble? I now got to be satisfied with God, where I'm at. I need to get closer to God. I need to see God work in my life and start seeing the world as He's seeing, and getting the needs. And listen, I need to surrender my life more, don't I? I need to be willing to give my life more to God. You need to be willing to surrender your life to God. Be willing to give it. Listen, He supplies. He says, seek ye me. He says, seek me first. Put me first. You wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you seek after? A cup of coffee, I think. But is God the most important thing in our life? I think Miss Nita, she got through some problems in life and struggles, but she gives God glory in everything God's doing for her. I want to have that attitude. I don't care how bad it gets. You know, I think of my cousin. He's dying and he's on the deathbed. He don't know what's going on around him. But I want, if my life comes to that, I've done all I can do for my Savior. He can't serve no more. But I can serve right now. God, what do you help me to do? You know, we have the wrong attitude of surrendering. I think of Demas. He had wrong his attitude. He was serving God. I think he was a saved man. But listen, the Bible says for Demas, Demas is forsaken. It says, forsaken me, having the love of the present world. I wonder if his wife was telling him, she wanted a better dress or new things. Or maybe he had desire for guns or boats or whatever, the world perspective. He started focusing on the things of the world, what he wants, and forgot the things of God. And he was working with the most powerful missionary in the world. And not just that, but he lost the blessing, did he not? What he could receive for God, but he left that for the world. He's got the wrong thinking about money. He's got the wrong thinking about materialism. Think about the rich farmer. He had all these blessings, and he said, you know what? I'm going to tear all these barns down, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to build more. Then I'm going to take an easy life and sit back and relax and enjoy my 401. God said, thou fool, for thy soul I call for tonight. It's all for him, guys. It's all for him. It ain't about the things, because those things are worthless. Randy Ray is not worrying about his boat at his house. He's not worried about his 401. He was more worried about when he had his mind about his wife. It's about the Lord, folks. You know, we have a willing mind. 2 Corinthians, Paul told the church of Corinth, he says, for if there be a first a willing mind, a readiness, listen, an offering to be accepted to God. We don't need money. He wants a willing mind. There's anything to be offensive to him. Samuel said, it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Does God need my money? He says in Psalms that for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon it are 1,000 hills. If he says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Does God need my faith promise? No. Does God need my money? No. Does God need my time? He doesn't need nothing of me. He wants me to be a part of it. It's his anyway, is it not? He blessed me with money. I get my money. I get my time. And say, here, God, this is what you want me to give. But here's the 90%. It's yours. What do you want me to do? Here's my life, God. This is yours. You gave me life. The air I'm breathing is yours. The heart is pumping is yours. Everything I got is yours. What do you want me to do? You gave me children, God. Now they're blessed. You blessed me with 5 girls. Now what do we do with them? How do we train them? To train them to be in the world or train them to live for you? God, you gave me a church to pastor. It's my pastor. It's my church. No, it's God. So God, these are the people you give me, God. What do you want me to teach them? What do you mean train them? What is the most important thing to tell them? It's about him. It's all about him. The purpose is to live for him. And the faith promise, it really starts to get me to think about that's all his. He just wants me to be a part of it. That cattle is mine. I want you to sacrifice. It's mine. I want you to have it to do it because I want you to show you love me. I give you something to give. I can't go to Brazil. I can't go to Japan. I can't go to Colombia. But I can support somebody to get there so they can tell those boys and girls, mom and daddies, about the Lord. It really is important. There's a theology called God is dead. It really is killing missions. It really is killing so many. Are we an independent, fundamental Baptist church? Are we? Do we believe that God's dead? Do we believe that God still wants souls to be saved? Listen, it's about him, folks. And he ain't dead. You know, D.L. Moody was used powerfully. Finney or Spurgeon? They served their generation. And it was funny how I was thinking about that, and he said the same thing about David. Served his own generation. We have an opportunity to serve in our generation what God wants us to do. They got the same God we got. We have the same ability, same power. We got the same wisdom. We have the Word of God available to us. We just need to reach out. There's a story about this church here. They were having a commitment for a new building. They all stood up and people started saying, you know, we need a building. It's going to cost so much. And one stood up and says, you know, I'm going to give $5,000. Another one said, I'm going to give $3,000. An old rich miser stood up and said, I'll give a widow's mite. There was an old lady who stood up and started praising God, jumping around, and she said, we got a new building. Because that man was rich, and he said, we'll have that building fixed. He done paid it all. See, he was being sarcastic. But the thing is, that woman that gave 2 mites, did she sacrificially gave all? That's all she got. But you tell me she went home with nothing? Did not God supply for her needs and take care of her? You know, God doesn't want the things. He just wants us. Faith promise really starts to give me an idea of seeing God, the world as God sees it. Starts to give me a new desire to serve and surrender my life. God, what do you want me to do? But it also gives me a new desire to give. Not the money. That will come. But give my life. What is it you want me to give, Lord? What is it you want me to do? my time, my life. I mean, everything is God's. It gives me a different perspective looking at those things. I think the time of faith promise comes up when we have the speaker here, we need to be prayed up. But listen, I think it's most important because we'll miss it. The speaker, he's going to bring a message, but listen, the message is not, it's not something special. It's the God that's special, but our heart's got to be prepared. We'd be sensitive to God, what God wanted me to do. God, we need to ask God and use us in a special way. They said Oswald Smith started out giving, I think, $2 a month. I think it was $2 a month. And every year he saw what God did, and he was giving a testimony how he didn't see how God, he never gave that much, and he prayed it in, and God did it, and he started increasing. It wasn't the money, it was seeing what God would do. We get this faith promise card, folks. I'm really encouraging you to pray about it. It's important. As a collective of the church, we know what God wants us to give the church, what we can do collectively as we turn them in. But we need to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? It's God's money. Is it God's money? Does God supply? He does. So God, what do you have me to do? Help my faith, Lord. Help me to grow closer to you and know what you want me to do. That's important. And that's where the power it is. But ye shall receive power after that Holy Ghost come upon you. We have the Spirit of God that lives with us. We have the power of God to help us overcome any issues in life. What shall I fear of? Shall I fear man? Shall I fear my boss? Shall I fear my job? Shall I fear the world? Should fear nobody. Because I got Almighty God that you can't touch me, you can't do nothing to me unless God allows it. Amen. Amen. All right, let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.